We're getting a lot of material tonight, so we're going to go fairly quick. Key thought is the same. The goal in parenting is to obey and honor God. And there's a lot of things to learn about parenting. And a lot of times, if you didn't grow up in a Christian home, you probably didn't have a great example. And if you were parenting the way your parents did, if they weren't believers, that might not be the best way to parent. And so what we want to say is, have you ever spent time studying what the Bible says? So I want to cover two areas tonight. Tonight's kind of like a leftover night. You know, I hate leftovers, by the way. You know, I don't know what it is, but I don't like leftovers. But when there's thoughts that I haven't clarified and I really want to clarify, that's what tonight is. So last Wednesday night we looked at the last half of a verse, which bothers a pastor. You want to do the whole verse. And so we did the last half of Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We skipped the first part, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And so I want to look at that tonight and also some of the practical help regarding spanking. So we're going to start there. So let's take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. By the way, that was your first blank. Some practical help regarding spanking. Proverbs 29, verse 15. By the way, this will be the last section I do on spanking. And so, I know some of you have teenagers and you're saying, well, by the way, you shouldn't be spanking your teenagers. It's probably not very effective. And so we'll give you some other options and some things to think about. So I know we're a mixed group here, and so you're saying, well, you haven't really helped me yet because my kids are older. Well, we are going to help you with that. So this is kind of that transition night tonight. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, the Bible says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Look at verse 17, same chapter. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Keep your finger here and go over to Hebrews chapter 12 in your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. In fact, let's begin in verse 6. Let's begin in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. By the way, that's what chastening should be like. If you're not getting their attention, that's what pain does. Pain gets our attention. And so if all you do is time out, that's not painful. By the way, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have been spanked by God? You say, that was painful. And the Bible says when God corrects us, we don't like it. It hurts. And when we discipline our children, they don't like it. And it hurts. But, he says at the end of verse 11, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Every time you see a well-behaved child, there's a lot of work that went into that. There's no such thing as lucky parents. That'd be like, have you ever gone to someone's house who has a dog that's out of control? Isn't that a blessing? You know what I'm talking about? Like you sit down and the dog like almost knocks you over, jumps all over you, is licking you. And especially if you're not a dog lover. And you're just trying to shoo that. You know, and it's my wife is not the biggest dog lover. And it just cracks me up when we go into someone's house. Because I'm telling you, it's like a dog knows. And that dog won't bother anyone except my wife. And my wife will be, you know, she's trying to quietly push the dog away. But then I've been into homes where the dog's well trained. Have you ever been in a home where they have the dog well trained? Where they say sit and the dog sits? and just kind of like, wow, that's cool. You know, and the dog knows where it's allowed to go and where it's not allowed to go. By the way, did they get a lucky dog? Or did they do a lot of training? Did they train that dog to say, you can be here and you can't be here? And God says, when we train our children, it is, and by the way, it's not fun either way, right? It's not fun for you as a parent if you love your kids. And it's not fun for the child, but it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. So Proverbs 29:15 and 17, Hebrews 12:11 tells us the rod of discipline brings pain, is your blank, but also brings righteousness and peace. Righteousness is a $10 word for doing right. Would you not agree with me that there are a lot of children that are not trained well? Again, don't nudge people, don't look around. But are there certain people that you go, I'm not really comfortable having them over to my house? You know, their kids are out of control. And so whenever you want to get together, you want it to be at their house. And you say, hey, we love getting together with you, but just not at our house. You know, let's go to your house. Why? Because those children are out of control. But when we discipline correctly, it brings righteousness and peace. Number two, the rod is not to be used to vent frustration or when your anger is out of control. Take your Bible and go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 20. In James 1:20, the Bible says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If you're disciplining out of uncontrolled anger, you're not disciplining properly. And the Bible says, if you're disciplining when you, and by the way, I know we're all supposed to be holy and spiritual, and I'm sure no one in this room has a child that's ever made you get ticked off. But I have. You know, my kids have done certain things that have made me really upset. And I mean, they knew better. And I told them, you can't do this. They did it anyway. And what you have to do is take a breath, right? You got to calm down. That's not the exact moment you should be disciplining. Why? Because you're too upset. And the Bible says, and again, this is why I keep coming back to the Bible. This isn't Jim's opinion. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So if you are out of control, the Bible says that's not the right time to discipline. In fact, I'm going to come back later on to why discipline doesn't work. Number three, the biblical concept of the rod is not the right to hit our child, that's your blank, is not the right to hit our children whenever and wherever we wish. The rod is used in the context of correction and discipline, is your blank. You know, abuse is wrong. Abuse is sinful. If you just start hitting a kid, that's sinful. God says that's wrong. God made a place with special padding. And by the way, every kid's different. I mean, you might have a son who has a leather bottom. I mean, and that son is going to need a few more swats than your daughter, let's say. You're going to have one kid that one swat, I mean, they're repentant. I mean, truly repentant. They're weeping and they're not scamming you. You got their attention with one swat. There's some kids that one swat, they'll just laugh at you. Now they're smart enough not to laugh at you to your face, but they'll go around the corner and go, that was nothing. And so you got to know your kids. And that's why I don't think I can give you tonight 5 swats, 4 swats, because it will differ child to child. But you have to make sure that it gets their attention. But there's one place it should be, and it should hurt enough to get their attention so that they don't want it. It's funny preaching this message with my parents here tonight. A little awkward. My parents got saved when I was 5 years old, and when they got saved and they heard this contest of spanking, they bought in 110%. And my dad is in construction. He made a paddle. He designed a paddle. This is how serious he was about this. He asked me the other day, I said, what are some of your memories? I can remember the paddle. It had 3 holes. It was quite the deal he made. But I tell you, if he ever said, if I was goofing off at church and he ever said, you're going to get a spanking when we get home, I don't remember him ever forgetting. I mean, I always got a spanking. You know what? It always hurt. And you know what? And a lot of you know this. I've said this not just because they're here, but I love my parents. I don't hate them because they disciplined me. And hopefully you say, wow, could you imagine if Jim wasn't disciplined as a kid? That would be crazy. And so what we have to understand tonight is that there is a place, it needs to hurt, but it's not to be abusive. It's to get their attention. What are the common objections to spanking? I took these from Shepherding a Child's Heart because some of you might think that I'm not on par with Paul Tripp. And if that's you, then this will hopefully help you tonight. So he wrote a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's a book we hand out often to people when we dedicate a baby. And I took this next section from his book. So this is what he writes on common objections to spanking. Number one, I love my child too much to spank them. So that's the first reason some people say they don't spank, is they love their children too much to spank them. Look in Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24, the Bible says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Again, the reality is if you love your kids, I hate spanking my kids. I mean, there's something wrong with you if you like that. I mean, it should break your heart. You should say, oh, I hate it. But I have to do it for their benefit. In reality, often the reason we don't discipline is for our benefit, not really theirs, because we just hate to have to deal with it. And so when we say, I love my child too much to spank them, well, the Bible says, and again, you can disagree with me, but I think you should be really careful about disagreeing with God and the Bible. And God says, if you don't discipline, you actually hate your son, in verse 24. Number two, I'm afraid I will hurt them. Number second common objection why people don't spank. And often for these people who are saying, I'm afraid I'll hurt them, the term rod brings to their minds angry, that's your blank there, angry parents flailing their children in uncontrollable rage. Those are your blanks. Such behavior is not a biblical use of the rod. It is child abuse. So discipline is not child abuse. Discipline is not flailing away, whacking your kid everywhere and anywhere. Look in Proverbs chapter 23 if you're here. Proverbs 23 verse 13. The Bible says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Biblically balanced discipline never physically endangers a child, is your blank. When you do it right, if you're doing it correctly, biblically balanced discipline never physically endangers a child. Let me just toss this out there as well. This is also why I believe discipline should primarily be done by parents only. Because only parents have the context of love in the home. And that's why I disagree with saying having someone else spank your children. I think you should be spanking your children. And the reason is because you're the parent. You understand your children. You know, how could someone else know what your child needs? And so, unless you're talking family, you know what I mean? Unless you have grandparents, aunts and uncles, if you're close to them and they know your kids and have that same love for your kids. But I believe, again, discipline primarily is a parental job. And then the biggest one that I hear, and I've heard it here at Meadowlands, is it doesn't work. I don't spank Pastor Jen because it just doesn't work. And I thought Paul Tripp gave four good reasons often why it doesn't work. And so he has number one here. The primary reason spanking can be ineffective is spanking in an out-of-control anger. If you're spanking in out-of-control anger, you've lost it. And by the way, this is the problem with a lot of people who don't discipline consistently. Well, I'm going to steal the next one here, so I'll talk about it in a second. B, inconsistent use of the rod. The child never knew what would elicit a spanking. In other words, to be honest, how most people discipline, they wait till they've had it. when they've had it, they're frustrated. They've just gone around the bend. Now they're going to discipline. But that changes based on that person's mood. Whether they're having a good day, bad day. Whether they got enough sleep last night, not enough sleep. The kid never knows. You know, some kids learn when the vein is as big as their leg coming up their neck, it's time to smarten up. And so they know I can goof off. I can disobey. I mean, I can do whatever I want. But when that vein starts to get big, I better snap to it. Well, why not teach our children first-time obedience? Why not teach them when I tell you to do something, you need to do it? And the other danger with that is they never know, is this a spanking offense or not a spanking offense? Because usually what sends you over the edge is one of 50 things that have been bugging you. I mean, how many parents, don't raise your hand, but you, I'll tell you this. Because spanking works, often after you spank, that kid smartens right up. After a whole day of just putting up with garbage. And you kind of go, why do we put up with that all day long? Like, how nice would our day have been if we had just dealt with this right off the get-go? But instead, we just kind of kept putting up with it, putting up with it, putting up with it. And it's unfair to the child. So when people say spanking doesn't work, I always want to know, how consistent are you? Are you consistent? Do you spank every time there's an infraction? So number three, when it doesn't work, failure to persist. Some folks never try anything long enough for it to work. This has been a fun series to teach, and the feedback I've been getting has been fun. So, and you know, I'm just not technical enough. If you send me a text, please put your name on it, because I can't tell by your number who you are. And but somebody sent me a text and said, "Boy, Pastor Jim, when you told us that disciplining our kids would be two of the roughest weeks we've ever had, you were right." And they said, "But we think it's starting to get better." You know, and I don't know who you are. I'll have to search your phone number. If that was you, maybe you can send me another text and say, "Hey, that was me." But you know what? You know what excited me about that? Is you're doing it. Is that you're taking this information and saying, "If this is what God says I have." You know, I had another parent who said, "You know what? I've been using my hand. And you know what? I went to the spoon, and it's amazing how much that helped in my parenting." You know, that's exciting. That's people saying, "You know what? If this is what God says, we want to apply it, and it's going to make a difference." And if you think that you're going to do this in 2 or 3 days, especially if you've let it go, it's going to take about 2 weeks of consistent hard work. Joan and I were the psycho parents when we first had Anne, our oldest. We did anything and everything to keep her from crying. We would put the fan on the bed, you know, so the fan would jiggle the crib, and we put the blanket in the oven to warm it up, and we did all of these things because we just hated to hear her cry. By the way, this is the dad version. The real version is probably from my wife. But, you know, because we didn't want her to cry. And so how do you feel about spanking? You don't like to hear your kids cry, right? And so you say, "Man, if I'm going to do this, you know, every day for the last 3 days I've had to spank and they've cried, and it's terrible, it's horrible." But often spanking doesn't work because we didn't do it long enough. And I'm promising you tonight, if you are consistent, it will get less and less within a month. It's not going to be that terrible week or two. It will get better if you're consistent. Stay with it long enough. And sometimes people say it doesn't work. "I tried it 3 days, nothing changed, spanking doesn't work." Well, be careful of that kind of thinking. Number four, failure to be effective. The spanking was ineffective because the parents never made the rod felt. You know, again, just things I've seen over years of ministry. But, you know, have you ever seen a parent disciplining a child on the run? You ever seen that? The kid's running, they're chasing, they're trying to give him a little swat like that. I mean, and the kid's just booking it, you know, and the kid doesn't even feel anything. He's got like a loaded diaper on there, and you're just trying to whack, and he's like, it didn't even faze him. That's not discipline. You're not getting that kid's attention. I mean, it's got to be felt. It's got to get their attention. When the kids get smarter, you know, they put the Sears and Roebuck catalog in their backside before the spanking. You know, I mean, you go, and yet they cry like it really hurt them. And then, you know, they find out, "Hey, Mom and Dad, we really pulled that one over," and they pull their Sears and Roebuck catalog out of their backside. You know what? Pay attention to stuff like that. If it's not getting their attention, it's not going to be effective. These are the top four reasons when someone tells me it doesn't work. And this is what I want to go through. If you're here tonight and you say, "I don't think spanking works. I've tried it." Do any of these four resonate with you? Say, "No, some of these things, maybe that was my problem. And I want to encourage you, because God tells us to spank, let's go back to that. By the way, spanking for young children. Practical applications of spanking on the back side. No pun intended. Number one, establish ahead of time what would be a spanking offense. That's your blank there. Establish ahead of time what would be a spanking offense. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave him one rule. When he came to Moses, he gave 10 commandments. If you have 50 rules in your home, you won't remember them all, and your kids won't remember them all, and it's going to frustrate everyone. And your whole job will then be policeman or policewoman. You're better off to have a few rules. A few simple rules like obey me, don't talk back, and don't lie to me. You could have three simple rules. Anytime you break one of these three rules, it's an offense. You come up with your own rules for your home, but if you're not going to spank for it, and we're talking small children, don't make it a rule. If you're not going to enforce it, you've heard me say this already in the series, don't say come here if you don't care whether they come here or not. But if you say come here and they run the other way, is that obedience or disobedience? It's disobedience. And what should happen when a child disobeys? They need to be corrected. But if you're not going to correct them, don't tell them to come here. But I tell you, in so many places, parents sound like auctioneers, you know? Come here, 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 come here. And that kid is not even turning around. Or how about this one? Have you ever had your kid tell you no? Is that okay with you? Is that okay with God when we look God in the face and say no? God says, Jim, I want you to work on this. And I say to God, no. Does God go, well, that's okay, Jim. That's okay. But don't worry about that one, Jim. Because that's what you're training your kids to do. You're training your kids to not submit to authority. That's really what obedience is all about. It's about submitting to authority. And when your child says no to you, that's a discipline issue. They need to be corrected. They need to learn you can't say no to mom and dad. If we tell you to do something, don't sit there and say no. But, you know, what do we do? I've even heard people say this. It's never how I feel. I mean, every time I'm around someone and their kid looks them in the face and says no, in my heart I'm saying that kid needs a spanking. But this is what I hear other people say. Oh, that's so cute. That's not cute. Because it gets really ugly when they're teenagers and they say no. It can get really ugly if you don't get on this when they're kids. And so let me encourage you, even if you think it's cute, if they say no to your face, you need to say that's a discipline issue. Again, never make a command that you're not going to enforce. So be honest with yourself. If you're not going to enforce anything, never tell your kids to do anything. But the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the Bible says that child will break your heart without correction. But just be honest with yourself and say, if I'm not going to enforce any rules, I'm not going to give any commands to my kids. Not going to tell them to go to bed, not going to tell them to eat their food, not going to tell them to do anything because I'm not going to enforce anything. But that's a bad decision for your child, and it's clearly not obeying what God's commanded us to do as parents. Number one, establish ahead of time what should be a spanking offense. By the way, when your kids start to get older, and I especially say this is true of teenagers, let them know what the offenses are. You know, have the family rules and say, does everyone understand what we will give a spanking for? Yes, we understand. Okay, good. Number two, establish a spanking instrument for administering spankings. I already told you about the one that I grew up with. I had someone, you know, if we're going to use a wooden spoon, don't have it be the spanking instrument and what you bake your cookies with, all right? Because every time you go in the drawer for that to bake the cookies, what's the kid thinking? What did I do wrong? You know, so make it a dedicated instrument. Say, this wooden spoon, this is the spanking spoon. And this is all it's used for, is this spanking spoon. Number three, establish a standard spanking policy. Depending on the age of the child and the nature of the offense, how many swats will they receive? Why would that be important? If you decide how many swats they get ahead of time, will that curb what you might do in anger? If you've already said, I know this child, and if this you break this offense, it's 4 swats. And if you're angry, but you've already said it ahead of time, it's only 4 swats, then you'll stop at 4 swats. So think that through and say, what's my policy? How many swats? And then, again, the kids can understand that as well. Number 4, spank soon after the offense. Is your blank. Small children have a short memory and a short attention span. This is why I disagree with moms who say, wait till dad gets home. You know, 5 hours later, dad gets home. The kid can't really remember what happened. He just knows he's in trouble, and kids aren't going to look forward to dad coming home. And so, moms, you need to discipline when dad's at work. Don't wait for everything. And so when dad drives in the driveway, all the kids run and hide under the beds. You know what I mean? You want the kids running to the door and say, hey, dad's home. Isn't that great? So if you're home with the kids, mom, you deal with the offense. And then as I said, if dad's home, dad should be taking over when he gets home. Number 5, tell them specifically what they've done or failed to do. When you get spanked by God, when you're disciplined by God, do you know why? By the way, you do. And this is why if you get a phone call and you say you have cancer, it seems like every Christian I know instantly thinks it's because they did something wrong. Do you realize that good, godly people can get cancer? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Job had boils. I mean, godly men had health issues that had nothing to do with sin in their life. By the way, it's also why we should be super careful never to judge each other. But have you ever had something go on in your life and you know it's exactly because you've been disobedient? I mean, as soon as it happened, right in your head, you're going, oh, I know exactly why this is going down. And you're also in your heart kind of saying, I deserve this one. That's discipline. But if you're sitting there going, I don't know why I have cancer. I don't know why I got that phone call. As far as I know, I'm walking with God. As far as I know, I'm doing things right. Then that's not discipline. When your children get disciplined, they should always know what it's for. So make sure before you spank them, you sit down with them and say, do you know why I have to do this? And help them understand it's because of one of these rules that you clearly set up ahead of time. And then 6, after the spanking, love them. Make sure that your kids know you love them. And after you discipline, give them a hug. And by the way, this works as kids get older, and this is why spanking isn't the most effective the older they get, because there'll be a stage where they're angry. Little kids, though, generally will come back and give you a hug. Not every strong-willed child, but the average child, when they're spanked young, will come back and love you. And so after your spanking, make sure you communicate love. Make sure you let them know, hey, it's over and done with, and I love you. When your child is old enough to resist your commands, next blank there, he's old enough to be disciplined. That's a question people say, when should I start spanking? Whenever your child is old enough to resist your commands, he's old enough to be disciplined. When he looks you in the eye and says no, he's old enough to be corrected. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of you know I enjoy Christian comedians. And a Christian comedian said, I was walking by, my son was sticking a knife in the light socket. And so he said, I went by and I swatted him on the backside and I said, no. And he said, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't do that. And he says, well, it might be crude, but it was effective. He said, my kid walks around that light socket every time he gets there. That's bad. That's bad. You know, and he said he learned a valuable lesson that day. I mean, so there's certain things you just say, hey, I want to make an impression here. That one's going to cause him danger and harm. Child's old enough to resist your commands. He's old enough to be disciplined. As children mature, there are other consequences to be employed, and we're going to take time to look at that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter. Well, on the way to Ephesians, well, let's go there first. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4, the Bible says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We looked at the last half of this, but I want to spend just a few minutes literally on the first part. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. We see that fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath is your blank. So how do fathers provoke or discourage their children? How do fathers provoke or discourage their children? Number one, by saying one thing and doing another is your blank. By being a hypocrite. I was a youth pastor before I came here, and I had a teenager that was smoking. His parents had been in the church forever. I brought his dad in, and I just said, I need to talk to you. I said, your son's smoking. He's doing this. He's doing that. I had a list of about four things that I assumed the dad was clearly aware of. The dad looked at me like a deer in the headlights, like this is the first time he's ever heard that his son was smoking. And I don't even know why I asked. And he was like, oh, that's so terrible. It's so heartbreaking. And I don't know why I asked the question, but I said, you don't smoke, do you? I had no suspicion that he smoked. And he put his head down. He said, yeah, I do. Well, how can you get on your kid about smoking if you're doing it? And so you go to your kid and you just give him the gears and you say, this is horrible, this is terrible, but you're doing the same thing. The Bible says you're provoking your child to wrath. You're saying one thing and doing another. Number two, by always criticizing and never praising. A child needs approval and encouragement in things that are good every bit as much as they need correction in things that are not good. So, you know, we talk about discipline, but we can also talk about reward. You know, parents, are you good at praising your kids? Are you good at, you know, and again, I'm one of those parents when my kids come home, they could have AAAAC. Guess which one I zero in on? What's up with the C? You know, I don't even mention the four A's. I'm just curious, why in the world did you get a C? What is going on here? And is that discouraging? Is that provoking a child to wrath? As it says here in this verse, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Is that discouraging to a kid? If all they get is criticism and they never get any praise? Some of you grew up in homes like that. And you say, that's very discouraging. Our kids need praise. as a youth pastor, I had a horrible youth group. And I was trying to work with these teens. I was trying to reach their heart. And I was trying to find one good thing, especially kind of the ringleader of this group. It took me 3 weeks. But he finally did one good thing in my Sunday school class. I'm just saying, if I could just find one thing, and this kid was such a terrible kid, for 3 weeks I couldn't find zero. Finally, I found one good thing. I mean, I bought his favorite candy bar. He was in a public school. I went in at lunchtime. I mean, that was a big deal. Wow, my youth pastor's here at lunchtime. Of course, he didn't think that was too cool at first. And I ordered him pizza. And of course, you know, if you show up with pizza in high school, you're everybody's friend. And, you know, and now all of a sudden, hey, this is cool. Hey, this is my youth pastor. Oh, he brought me pizza. And all his buddies are wanting some pizza. And I sat down with him and I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I saw this last Sunday and that was awesome. Hey, thanks so much. And he was shocked. And you know what? It made a big difference. And sometimes we'll get, you know, you've heard the saying, you can get further with sugar than vinegar. Or honey than vinegar. And I think sometimes when we're always criticizing, we're never praising, we're provoking our kids to wrath. And God says, dads, don't do that. Number three, by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline. If you're not consistent, if your kids never know what is a spanking offense and what isn't a spanking offense, when they do one thing one day and nothing's mentioned about it, they do the same thing 3 days later and they get a spanking for it, you're going to provoke them to wrath. Why? It's inconsistent. They don't, you know, that when the day you spank them, they're going, well, I did that 3 days ago and you didn't say anything about that. What am I getting a spanking for today? It's inconsistent. It's provoking your children to wrath. And let's also be clear, if you have more than one child, are you treating all your children the same? If one child can do something and not get spanked for it, and the other child does the exact same thing and gets spanked for it, that child's going to be provoked to wrath. Why? It's unfair. You know, if you have more than one child, you need to treat all of the children the same. And all the rules need to be the same. Number four, by showing favoritism in the home. This is the whole problem of Jacob and Esau. Number five, by making promises and not keeping them. And I know that there are times when this happens, when You have good intentions. You weren't purposely trying to let a child down. But as much as lies within you, especially to dads, again, I had this kid in the youth group who has a problem. And I was working with him, and I eventually, you know, even though those kids were bad, I eventually did get their heart. And, you know, it's not, I always said that, I know that's a blessing, because I'd be the one that'd come in and say, hey, I just thought I should tell you my girlfriend's pregnant. Great. Who else have you told? Oh, just you. Thanks. That's great. So we got to go tell your folks and her folks. Yeah. But I want you to go with me. You know, that's the kind of youth group I was dealing with. But because I had their heart, they talked to me. And I was working with this kid, and he said, you know what? When I was 12, my dad said we were going to go camping. He said, I got up on Saturday. I raced down and knocked on his door. Hey, Dad, you ready to go? Mom said, sorry, Dad got called into work. He's not going to be here today. So I went back to my room and went to bed, and he said, I was just so discouraged. And Dad would get home later that night, and Dad would say, hey, this Saturday, we're going camping. And he said, I get up. I was so excited. Run down. Hey, Dad, ready to go camping? And Dad wasn't there. And Mom said, you know what? Sorry, Dad had to go into work again today. And he said to me, you know, Pastor Jim, it happened so many times that when my dad said we were going camping, I didn't even set my alarm. I didn't even get up. Why? Because I've been let down so many times. And I want to challenge you. It's discouraging to kids. And as much as lieth in you, if you make a promise to your kid, if you say, I'm going to take you out, if something prevents you from doing it, do all you can to make that up to them. I read of a dad who promised his two sons to take him to the circus, but early that morning the phone rang. An urgent business call required the dad's presence downtown. The two boys braced themselves for the disappointment. Then they heard their father say, no, I won't be down. It'll have to wait. When he came back to the breakfast table, his wife smiled. The circus keeps coming back, you know. Yes, I know, replied the father, but childhood doesn't. That's a great statement. Time with your kids will go by before you know it. I can't believe Tim's graduating this Friday. Those 18 years. You know, when you have small children, it seems like, will they ever grow up? And when they turn 18 and leave your home, you just go, where did that time go? It's a blink of an eye. And I want to challenge all of us tonight. If you make a promise, do all that you can to keep it. Because when you don't, you're provoking a child to wrath. We're 5 minutes over. Let me just give you the blanks for the rest of this. Number 6, by making light of problems that to the child are very important. You get home from work and your daughter brings you the dolly that has the broken arm and wants you to kiss the boo-boo. Kiss the boo-boo. Fix the broken arm. Don't say, it's nothing. And your teenagers want to talk about the breakup in their life or the big problem or the big test. Take the time to listen. Don't make light of problems that to the child are very important. It's discouraging to a child. Number 7, by using love as a tool or of reward or punishment, granting it when a child is good and withdrawing it when he is bad, we would call this performance-based acceptance. You know, your kids need to know that you love them all the time just because they're your kids. And I put on the end of this is not like God. Does God love you only when you do right? How many of you think that? We have too much scripture that tells us the opposite, right? Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were what? Sinners. We love him because he what? First loved us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just love us when we're right? Isn't it a blessing to know God loves me all the time? And your kids need that from you. Your kids need to know you don't have to be someone special. You don't have to be the smartest kid in the class. You don't have to be the best athlete. You don't have to be the prettiest girl. You know why I love you? Because you're my kid. That's all you have to do. And I will say this about my parents. That was how it was in our home. We didn't have to be anything special. But they always said us, you know what? We'll always love you. And I said some of these before. One of the great impacting statements of my dad was when he sat us all down and said, no matter where you go, there should be 5 people you can always count on. And I have a family of 6. I never forgot that, and that's a true statement. And you know why? Because we're family. We need to love our kids unconditionally. But if we're not careful, we start putting restrictions on our kids. If you meet my expectations, if you do everything I say, if you're the best in the class, if you're the best athlete, then I'll love you. That's not like God. Don't use love as a tool of reward or punishment. And number 8, by physical and verbal abuse. It's amazing that we sometimes say things to our children that we would not think of saying to anyone else. And I hope I don't have to go over this very much, but obviously physical and verbal abuse is greatly discouraging to a child, and it's a sin. And so, sorry I went over tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we seek to be the parents you've called us to be. God, help all of us as fathers not to provoke our children to wrath. Help us not to discourage them. God, even though we went through this list fairly quickly, I pray that we maybe would go back over this list and think about it. And God, if we've done this to our kids, that we would take the time to apologize and go back to our kids and let them know that that we want to encourage them, not discourage them. And God, for all the young parents who have young children, Lord, help us to obey your word, to understand that spanking is necessary, that spanking brings righteousness and peace, that it's helpful to our children, but that it needs to be done the right way, in appropriate place, in appropriate strength, not in uncontrolled anger. And God, we thank you for our children. Sunday night was just such a good reminder of the blessings we have in this church. And God, I pray that we'd invest in our children, that we'd help our children to love you, and that we'd be good examples to them. And God, I pray, give us safety as we travel home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.